low orbit. You're listening to Low Orbit, Issue 3, Where the Wind Blows Tall. Today's issue features In Order, Detour, by Blake File, They Were Here First, Too, by Jay Cowett, and The Rail Marshal, by Christopher O'Keefe. Detour.
Hi. My name is Blake, and I have just a quick note before we get started. Actually, it's more like a recommendation.
Detour.
Because this podcast is an immersive audio storytelling experience. Part fact, part fantasy. So it's best that you listen with headphones on, imagination on, and everything else turned off. Welcome to Abandoned, the All-American Ruins Podcast.
Truly a colorful state. Not just for the people who live there, but for the people who come there from all over the world. We know you're going to enjoy our story as we take you to Colorado.
It was the cry of gold and the lust for wealth which brought people to the state of Colorado. Here, 40 miles east of Denver, once a thriving community, now it's truly a ghost town.
I stand very still. One ear facing the plains, the other leaning into the darkness of the stadium. A red bucket, strung up by a short rope, basks in the Colorado October sun, swinging back and forth, ever so gently, in tempo with the emboldened wind as it strokes the fields of soil and wheat stretching as far as I can see through the broken glass surrounding the abandoned grandstand.
I think I should leave now.
It's the first visit to an abandoned space where I feel genuinely fearful.
And now it's time to go.
I know I heard something.
Because the last thing I want is to get in trouble. I think it's an abandoned racetrack.
The road leading up to the mysterious blue structure is appealing to me, aesthetically speaking anyway. I have an affinity for long, dusty county highways, empty miles of gravel that soak up more sunlight in a year than I will in a lifetime. They ignite curiosity in me. Where does this long, dusty county highway go?
It's going to be interesting to hear this windscreen to see if it actually works. You know, because we're out on the plains now. And I don't know exactly how much that's going to be possible.
I leave the car on the opposite side of the interstate exit. I'm en route to Last Chance, an abandoned ghost town. But this unexpected, mysterious blue structure requested my attendance. There are times when I don't have a say in the matter. If an abandoned space wants to make itself known to me, it will. I can't ignore it.
Walking underneath.
I cross underneath the interstate and make a sharp left onto the train tracks.
This train track runs right along this side of the road.
They're in a straight line and pass behind the property. It may be too far back, but it's my first line of offense, and I have to investigate. It's exceedingly likely that Plan A won't work out. The further down the tracks I get, but who says you can't detour a detour?
Whoa, huge cicada body. I'm gonna get a picture of that.
I discover an orange bucket, and a grasshopper carcass. Or maybe it's a cicada. They're loud today anyway. Them and the crickets. I backtrack to the long, dusty county highway. I notice a blue pickup truck, fresh off I-70, start to parade down the road. I hold very still and watch it head towards, then away from, the vacant, unexpected, mysterious blue structure. I exhale and pick up the pace. They're not unclear about trespassing, but they're also not doing much to enforce it. I do decide, however, not to try and enter the adjoining house. It feels like a bad idea.
If you look hard enough, you can always find it. Parked on a lonely road, just looking for trouble. And trouble is there, all right. Especially if you're the sharp one. The guy or gal who doesn't have to listen to your parents' good sense or follow the rules, because you're smart enough to beat the game and take care of yourself. Men like this make a practice of lurking and to prey on young people who don't know any better than to be there. Sometimes the victims are lucky, but not this time.
What the fuck? He's born and raised here. Why am I afraid to walk around? Yes, everyone has a fucking gun, that's why. There's reason to be afraid. There's every reason to be afraid.
I pass between two concrete roadblocks and a swivel desk chair, drunkenly hanging outside the gates of the overgrown parking lot. I quicken my pace to round the side of the building, out of sight from cars. In front of me stands a long outdoor hallway, blue doors, the sounds of the wind off the planes, and the bent and unseemly blinds hanging by a thread in one of the doorways harmonizing with one another. There's something about the noise of open space that pleases my ear considerably. It incites instant ecstasy of body, a spine-tingling, coma-inducing sonic experience that melds my skin and muscles and eardrums together, pulsating electricity through one another, providing a feeling of weightlessness, the closest I ever get to legitimate relaxation outside of actual sleep. I stare out across the overgrown Greyhound racetrack, once embedded into the cultural narrative of this particular region in Colorado, now a symbol of human evolution, of breaking outdated traditions in the name of animal rights, of another capitalistic venture come and gone in the blink of an eye.
The Greyhound Protection Act. It would ban greyhound racing, which is still happening in three states, and gambling in the U.S. on greyhound tracks anywhere.
From 1971 to 2010, the racetrack operated out of Byers, Colorado in Arapahoe County, in many different forms, including Colorado Motorsports at the end of its tenure. For nearly 40 years, thousands of visitors sat in the green, yellow, and orange stadium seats, sweeping down towards a once manicured track. Now just dirt and dust and the echoes of greyhound dogs stampeding and ATVs racing around and around the track. And now it's empty. At least, I think it is.
There is a house, ranch style, and there are two campers out in front of it, which always potentially means that trouble could be coming your way.
Learn the ways to discourage the intruder. Noise is the intruder's greatest enemy.
As I gaze into the miraging plains, a sound from above startles me. The wind is so strong I almost didn't notice. I crick my neck up to look into the rafters, just behind me, and I see a red slop bucket dangling from the ceiling, clanging next to an old light fixture and a tire. the slants of breeze that sneak into the room through cracks in the walls and shattered windows control the swinging objects. I stand very still. And every few seconds, I think I hear footsteps, but each time, they're drowned out by the raging wind outside.
I think I should leave now.
I look down and see someone's chalk left behind for other explorers to enjoy. I think this is thoughtful. I leave my signature on some steps in the stadium. As I finish up my tag, I look up at the ceiling and notice a catwalk that crosses overhead. I sort out my path up and begin my ascent. Every step I take instills more fear. I don't know if I'm alone or not. And even if I'm not, this space contains spirits, and it's not just in my imagination. Someone's been here. Recently. I can almost feel them breathing down my neck. It feels like the wind is taking a slow inhale, the kind that your yoga teacher asks you to practice at home. In through the nose. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold, and out through the mouth. 1, 2, 3, 4. Rest. Again. I approach the catwalk. It's much slimmer than I realized. I work my way across, glancing down to see the sea of stadium seats below. Empty, but filled with the echoes of stories across space and time. I reach a concrete overlook at the end of the catwalk and walk right up to the glass. The planes. I hear another noise down below. I freeze. Wind. Hold still. In through the nose. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Really time to leave now.
I scurry back downstairs, passing a tipped over shopping cart, a not open sign, a podium, and a blue ticket booth shoved underneath a concrete and metal staircase. And for a moment, I think I see a ghost of me working at a box office in Times Square before I decided to leave New York City for good back in 2017. But it's only my muddled shadow. This was a shorter visit than I'd hoped for, but something feels off. I have to listen to my gut these days. It's the only method of survival.
The two gunmen who went on the area around the store claimed that he met the shooter as he was exiting the supermarket the day before the shooting,
and that Peyton Gedrin told him he was trapped.
Two people are now dead after a church shooting in the Dallas-Fort Worth region of North Texas, according to
the shooting took place at the two separate locations in downtown Orlando, Florida, on Friday morning.
To get me, somebody would have to shoot through the fake news. And I don't mind that so much.
I've never felt more unsafe living in the United States than I do now. I remind myself that I'm in an open carry state with the flimsiest of firearm safety laws. The state that sparked a decades-long battle between the NRA and the rest of the country, 61% of whom, according to Pew Research, want common sense gun laws. I could get shot here. I poke my head around the final landing of Office Space and make sure the coast of the county highway is clear. I quickly make my exit, stopping briefly to photograph a bulldozer sitting off the side of the parking lot entrance. It's small, has the number 463 pasted on the side, and I like it. I wonder who left it here.
The building is pretty big, considering that we're in the middle of nowhere.
I glare up at the sun, shielding my face from the fierce rays that tumble down onto my face. As I pass between two concrete roadblocks, I exchange glances with the drunken swivel desk chair still hanging around the gates of the overgrown parking lot. I look back at the sky and imagine how big it is, which makes me feel a little too close to God, so I back off. I close my eyes as the sound of the planes carries me up and over the blockade and back onto the long, dusty county highway, where I keep my back turned to the space like Sodom and Gomorrah, passing a sign that says Junction Colorado 40, Junction Interstate 70. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't look back. My eyes have been captured by the sight of the plains stretching north, up, and away towards the other side of the world. If you're just tuning in, welcome to the third season of Abandoned, the All-American Ruins podcast. Join me every other week as I take you on an immersive sonic journey, recounting my expeditions of abandoned spaces across the United States, which I transform into fantastical audio experiences that allow you, dear listener, to dive into my imagination with me. Or maybe inspire you to go out and use your own. If you don't want to miss it, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and blah, 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 rate, subscribe, review. I'm just glad you're here. Also, if you like to read or enjoy amateur photography, just know that each episode this season is adapted from the original All-American Ruins blog, where you can catch up on more of my adventures. Just visit allamericanruins.com or follow me on Instagram at allamericanruins. Abandoned, the All-American Ruins podcast, is hosted, written, edited, and produced by me, Blake File, with studio space courtesy of Radio Kingston, WKNY, AM 1490, FM 1079 in Kingston, New York. Also, a huge shout-out to my big brother Ryan, who provided very valuable feedback on every script for every episode this season. And thanks to you, my friend, for taking the time to explore these abandoned spaces with me. Thank you.
1909. You have 12 bullets and an unopened letter from your wife. She is waving. Her eyes are wet, and her belly is swollen. The five-pointed star on your shirt gleams as the Southern Pacific Steamliner pulls out of El Paso. Two Colt 44s filled with Bennett Prime cartridges feeling light against your hips. You are a United States Rail Marshal. You said the words, "My train is my temple. Its cargo is its souls. From engine to end, passenger and crew, I will keep them safe." And the rail marshal sergeant pinned the star to your chest. You walk east down the corridor against the train's westward chug. Tucson, Yuma, San Diego. You patrol, you watch. When the train reaches Nevada, between Reno and Winnemucca, you will open the letter. ...1954. You are on the Texas Chief diesel engine locomotive on the Northeast Illinois line. You miss the coal. You miss the way the white steam and black smoke would mix like coffee and cream. Your badge has 4 points from where it caught one of the Elliott gang's Bowie knives. You have 7 bullets. You have requested backup and resupply, but headquarters keeps delaying. Your last telegram read, "Headquarters moving. Funding rerouted to air marshals." You send the money home. You keep only enough to trade for train script, the currency of the rails. Enough for your commissary tab or to play cards with the conductor when the passengers are asleep. You don't smoke, but you play cards for cigarettes too. On the swing back to Chicago, between the bricks of downtown LaGrange and Joliet's River casinos, you will open the letter. 2020-something. You are on the Northeast Regional Accelera. You have no bullets. It's been years since the final telegram from headquarters. Protect your train. Await orders. You are the last. But you don't trust the quiet electric Accelera train. No more bandits, no more blood. You miss the diesel. You are old. The crew sees through you like glass. Underneath a great train terminal, you decide to walk. You take a tunnel toward the light. Black tunnel, white light. Then, just before you disappear, there is someone to save, someone to protect. A Mexican girl with aerosol paint cans. You tell her your wife is part Mexican.
Soy colombiana, pendejo.
She said, and you recover the dust of something you lost long ago. She is in trouble, her and her friends. Strange voodoo. They look like something out of Jules Verne. The bookseller, the boy's mother, this paint-covered girl, the surviving twin who knew tomorrow. You help escape the guts of Penn Station. That was the first danger. You are heading north now, on your train. Bad men in pursuit. You are preparing for the second danger. You are barricaded. They are coming. You have no bullets. A tattooed man on a bicycle wearing all black rides alongside the train during one of the slow curves south of Providence. He holds the side of the train and passes the bookseller a package. The bookseller gives you the package before he is thrown from the train. 3 men dressed like priests are pursuing the girl. You open the package. 2 Bennett-primed cartridges for your 44s. 1 for each. The men are coming. If they take the girl, they will not make her into something else. They will not corrupt her or break her down. They will flatten her and empty her out. So, bullets for the first 2 of them, and your body for the 3rd. But your body is old and breaks against him, and for the first time you feel something infernal within this man, this unpriest. If the Lord is real, then this demon is not his agent. He folds your bones like a state fairground chair. His robes brush your face as he passes over you toward the girl who is screaming as the bookseller pulls her to the next car. The conductor crackles on the speaker. Kingston, Rhode Island. Kingston up next. All doors open. And you think, after Providence, between 128 and South Station, when the train cuts through Boston, with the Pike on the left and Fenway on the right, then I will sit down and take off my guns and I will open the letter.
And that's another low orbit in the books, which is definitely a thing people say absolutely for sure. In this issue, we first heard Detour from Blake File. Blake is an Ambie Award-winning multidisciplinary artist. His latest body of work, All American Ruins, has been the recipient of numerous awards for its genre-bending, multimodal storytelling, including a recent UK Press Gazette Future of Media Awards nomination for the Podcast of the Year. The project has seen multimedia installations worldwide, including England, Wales, Peru, Croatia, Italy, France, Sweden, Switzerland, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States. In 2025, the podcast arm of the project, Abandon, reached number one on Apple Podcast Travel and Places charts. Outside All American Ruins, Blake most recently served as a guest producer for season 5 of History Colorado's Lost Highways, while also working his day job as Operations and Digital Programs Manager at TMI Project and night job as co-host of Cinema Kingston on Radio Kingston WKNY. Blake is an alumni of SUNY Stony Brook's Audio Podcast Fellowship, a Disktopia True Play Innovative Podcaster Award finalist, and a 2025 Green Box Resident Artist. You can see more of his work at www.blakefile.com. That's BLAKEPFEIL.com. We then heard They Were Here First Too by Jay Cowett. Jay Cowett has made various electronics, dance, metal, and psychedelic music for 2 decades and has additionally been a sound designer and creator for WNYC, Axios, CT Public, Freakonomics, and more. Ocean Ambient is the latest in a series of his ambient releases, this one focusing on soundscapes inspired by the enormous oceans of Earth and beyond. Ocean explores the depths of pressure-filled chasms, volcanic fissures, empty freezing pockets of water, mountainous structures, and the stormy shores, and of course, all the biological wonders that live in those places. You can find all this music at jcowett.bandcamp.com and all radio audio work at jcowett.com. Finally, we heard The Rail Marshal by Chris O'Keefe. Chris is a writer and producer with over a decade of varied audio work across genres. He's the co-creator of Jupiter Saloon, an audio drama about a dive bar in space, and co-founder and head of narrative at Podcation, which designs live immersive audio events. His production credits include narrative and branded podcasts for Cirque du Soleil, the British Columbia Institute of Technology, MIT, and the award-winning music podcast Disgraceland. In 2020, he released his first poetry collection, Drinking from Snow Globes. Chris is currently a fellow and teaching assistant at Stony Brook University's Podcast Incubator and runs OK Creative, the language agency, where he helps storytellers, brands, and otherwise shape work that resonates. You can contact him directly at chris@ok-creative.com. And those are the credits. Would you like to be included in the credits? And by extension, the rest of the show? What? Yes? Well, you can also be a part of this little thing. Perhaps you have a poem or a personal essay, or maybe you've got a recording of a tree in your yard. I don't know. But you may have something, and that something could live here for a while. Just let me, I'm Josh by the way, let me know if you want to add something to the world's only audio zine. Josh@rocketfromearth.com, or I guess on Blue Sky at Low Orbit Podcast. And there's more audio zine on the way in a couple of weeks. Bye-bye.
Listen while I tell you a story, the tale of the Marlboro brand. It came out of Richmond, Virginia one day and spread clear across the land. Oh yeah, it spread to California, and now it's famous in old Chicagoland. And in New York town, it's the biggest brand around, and getting bigger from the lakes to the Rio Grande, the big flavored Marlboro brand. Now anywhere is Marlboro country, everywhere in the USA. From Philadelphia clear to San Francisco Bay, getting bigger all over this great big land, the big flavored Marlboro brand.
Come to Marlboro country.